Okay, here we go. Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 68. If you have the book, the title is Chapter 9, of course. And it says, Defining Sister White's Judgment and the Word of the Lord. Okay, this is another area that, I don't know why they have this in these books, and I just assume skip over these kind of chapters, but let's see what's here. Okay, because I just assume, I like to hear more about what's happening, you know, prophetically. And or doctrinally, or personally, you know, for the church, for the benefit of the church. So, this first, the subheading is Sister White's opinion, and then the first subheading is the position of part human and part divine. Okay, so good. There's going to be some doctrinal issues here that we can go over. So good. She says, many times in my experience, I have been called upon to meet the attitude of a certain class who acknowledged that the testimonies were from God, in other words, her writings, right? But took the position that this matter and that matter were Sister White's opinion and judgment. And how many people do that? And I run across people, too, especially just yesterday, as a matter of fact, where, for example, this one person I was speaking to was trying to convince me on the phone that I should keep the feast days. But she believed Sister White was a prophet. And I says, well, Sister White didn't believe in, she didn't keep the feast days. She didn't even mention them to that effect. And she goes, well, Sister White didn't know everything. Excuse me? I mean, it's just as bad as going with the opinion or judgment situation. If she's a prophet, she has read the Bible. So whether, you know, in other words, that assumption that she didn't know everything, well, yeah, none of us do. But if you read the Bible, and those of us that aren't prophets like myself that have read the Bible know that the Bible says that all these feast days were, you know, abolished at the cross right there in Colossians chapter 2. How would a prophet miss that? I mean, how would someone who knows and understands the Bible a lot better than I do, how would she miss that? See, that's what I don't get. But this is how the devil's able to deceive some people. He's able to get them to... And that's mostly self-deception. That kind of stuff is wiped away at the end of the 1,000 years, where all that self-deceiving attitudes towards certain situations is gone, and then they have a crystal clear view as to the fact that, yeah, God did send as many people as he could to try to get you off that track that was going to bring you to this day where you're about to burn. But too late now, right? This is one of the reasons for the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth. But it's so sad how people will stay in denial. And it ain't no river I'm talking about either. They stay in self-denial. They say, you know, just like any of us, like myself too, we are our worst enemies. If when you rely on self and you rely on self's own judgment and you read the Bible with a preconceived idea, you're going to get yourself in all sorts of trouble, especially if you never even read the Bible. And you only read Ellen White's writings, for example, like the majority of the people over the years, and this is something that's always been amazing to me, how anybody gives these kind of situations any credibility whatsoever is when some people come against the truth as we preach it, but they never use the Bible to do so. They'll only use Spirit of Prophecy, or they'll use Pat Robertson or something. You know, they'll steer clear of the Bible because they know we read it, they know we trust it, they know we preach it, they know we teach it, and they know that we can expose them. And so they assume to use that which they're comfortable with, which is like, you know, whatever, you know. And that's why people send me books. Oh, by the way, if anybody here is doing this, please let me know. Every now and then, like, I don't know, maybe once a month, somebody sends me a DVD in the mail. And all it says on the DVD is make copies. No return address, nothing. Do you honestly think I'm going to put that thing in my computer? I mean, seriously. If you're here doing this. You know, and I know you're not doing it to be mean. Oh, well, maybe, who knows? But if you're doing it, hey, put a note in there saying, this is, you know, Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so. You know, it's safe. Don't worry about it. It's not a virus. And even then, I'm going to have to be careful. Well, unless, of course, I know you. But, I mean, I can kill viruses. I've been killing them for years. I used to be, well, I still am somewhat, I guess, computer programmer. But I don't, like, if somebody sends me a DVD in the mail and it just says make copies and they're not supposed to stick that in my computer, no, I don't do it. I never do it. Anyway, she goes on to say this suits, oh, and this is going back to what she's saying here, that the people take the position of that this matter or that matter, whatever, is Sister White's opinion or judgment. And the Catholics do this on a regular basis, too. And, you know, the especially the news groups. When I first started out online, it was on the news groups because you could do that easily with a dial-up connection. Okay, before dial-up was de-dialing, and that was the baby internet. Al Gore wasn't anywhere in the room. But anyway, the dial-up thing with the news groups, it was like a bulletin board, and the Catholics used to love to try to come up with this idea that, oh, that's Nicholas's opinion or his judgment. And then other Catholics would actually defend my position. As much as they hated to do so, he says, no, he didn't write the Bible. Those verses, because a lot of Catholics did leave the church with all the work that was done. And I praise God for that. 44,000 posts to those news groups in the course of, and most of them were just, you know, answers to questions. Like, you put up a post and people would slam you and attack you, and you answer them. So you're going to get, you might get a couple of hundred posts to a post that you have to send out. It's just like emails. And those things are still online. They've been up for decades now. But they would always try that opinion thing, and I used to laugh when I'd see it. I says, okay, you show me where in any of the statements that I've made over the years where I've given my own opinion. And when I do, you know, I usually give the Bible verse to back it up completely. Show me where I've ever given my own opinion. And when I do give my, and now when I do it, because sometimes people ask me for my own opinion, I'll say, well, this is my opinion, and I can't back it up with Scripture or Spirit of Prophecy. I'm sure some of you have heard me say that a few times. But this is what she's talking about here, how some people will go in that route, you know, in regards to her writings. And she says, this suits those who do not love reproof and correction, and who, if their ideas are crossed, have occasion to explain the difference between human and divine. You know, and this is what we see on a regular basis, too, with people that, let's say they are part of our number, and then they come across another doctrine that we preached that they didn't realize that we preached, or they start going over and listening to some guy that preaches this or preaches that, and it's nothing that we preach, and they come up to us and they ask us questions about it, and we show, oh, okay, well, this is error. You got to be careful. Instead of loving the reproof, as she's saying here, because a wise man will love the reproof. Praise the Lord. I could have jumped off the path there. I'm going to make my father, you know, smile again by staying on this path. And thank you for showing me. But no, some people don't like to be corrected. I mean, especially if they've done a bunch of work, and so they think, and, you know, they put hours and hours and hours into all this, and then, oh, I'm wrong? Well, yeah. You know how many times I've ripped stuff up? but anyway, she goes on. If the preconceived opinions or particular ideas of some are crossed and being reproved by testimonies, they have a burden at once to make plain their position, to discriminate between the testimonies, defining what is Sister White's human judgment and what is the Word of the Lord. In other words, they're going to pick away at it, look for the meat and the bones, and they're going to try to figure out a way to say, yeah, well, this isn't really... It's like what Paul used to preach. He goes, what I'm giving now is not by command, it's by my own personal opinion kind of a thing, right? Like, especially when he got into the area where he says, it would be better that you would be like I am, where I am not married. And he says, but I don't give this by command, I give this by my own opinion. I don't think he was to use the word opinion, maybe suggestion or something, I can't remember exactly the wording of it. And this is what they're trying to do with her, because they don't like that which is written, because it cuts against their grain, and so they got to figure out a way to whittle it away, so that they can continue on in the path they prefer, which is sinful. So she says, everything that sustains their cherished ideas is divine, and the testimonies to correct their errors are human. In other words, everything they agree with, yeah, that's from God. Stuff they don't agree with, not so much. It's got to be from human. Or Sister White's opinions, as it says here. So they make of none effect the counsel of God by their tradition, and that's what the prophecy said they would do. And didn't Jesus say that? So this next subheading is titled Virtually Rejecting the Testimonies. And she says, you have talked over matters as you viewed them, that the communications from Sister White are not all from the Lord, but a portion is her own mind, her own judgment, which is no better than anybody else's judgment and ideas. Okay, now I got to beg to differ there. Now, I understand she's a human like the rest of us, but she's a prophet. So, being a prophet, I mean, because I know how I am, and I'm not a prophet, and I know how much I want to make my father smile, and I know how much I'm very strict in my walk towards myself, and I have learned over the years, praise God, to be a little bit more relaxed around those around me that don't quite see like I see, because I know they do things I still don't realize I'm doing wrong, you know? And so I got to be patient with them as they're patient with me. But at the same time, I'm not a prophet. And so this woman has visions and all these things. And it's just, and even there, it's just, okay, that's just visions. And it doesn't have a lot to do with what's being discussed here. But the fact of the matter is she is a prophet. She reads the Bible with a little bit more understanding than most of us being a prophet. Because she's got I don't want to say an inside line with the Father, but, you know, the Lord's going to correct her a little bit more frequently, if you will, or prevent her from stepping off the path of the truth, because being a prophet, he has her in a position where he needs her to be. And it's just like with that woman I talked to yesterday, too, as a matter of fact. She's talking about, she's trying to show me that this one rabbi met Jesus in a vision and was given the instruction that Jesus Christ really is a Messiah, and he believed it. And then he wrote all this information about this vision down in a letter and sealed it and said, do not open this until my death, because he was too fearful to deal with the repercussions of letting this cat out of the bag before he dies, right? And I couldn't seem to get this person to understand, do you honestly think Jesus would approach a man such as this to have him share in such a way? I mean, seriously, this is Jesus. This isn't just some, you know, so-called, like, Maitreya dude down the road that thinks he's some kind of a Messiah. This is Jesus, the creator of all that is seen and unseen, the man who read hearts even as he walked in the flesh as we walk in it. 2,000 years ago, he can read the hearts. So, Jesus knows firsthand, before he even goes anywhere near this so-called rabbi, that the guy's going to seal up this truth and hide it in a letter because he's too fearful to let the cat out of the bag until he dies, right? So, how is it Jesus messes up here? I mean, if Jesus is going to approach somebody in vision, as we saw with Sister White, if they show and prove that they have the wherewithal to go forward with the truth as he is explaining it, well, then he's going to go with them. I mean, because we remember the two guys that were supposed to go forward with the truth, the present truth in that day, and they got too fearful, they couldn't handle the situation, and so they decided to back off and decided to go another route with their ministerial duties. And guess who got all the blessings after that? Some little girl named Ellen White. Well, Ellen, what was her, Harmon? What was her early... Ellen Gouldwright, or something like that. Gould. Thank you, Ace. And so, the Lord knew Ellen White would run with it. And so he used her. So I'm supposed to believe that some rabbi who just died has a letter. Now, how convenient is that? The guy's dead. Super rabbi, by the way, right? And now he's dead. So now they can play with this all they want and say, look, he knew the Messiah. They even had articles about this. And I did something about this on the site about a week or so ago. All right? No. I actually did a video about this guy, as a matter of fact. He's setting the stage for Antichrist is what he's doing. And these people don't even catch this. They're looking at him as some kind of a super Messiah. So, it's no different from the other toss of the coin that they're doing here with Sister White, saying that this is a portion of her own mind, her own judgment, which is no better than anybody else's judgment and ideas. And so don't they realize that she's a prophet and the Lord thy God is using her because he knows he can use her because she is obedient? So why would he even go to this rabbi who he knows is going to seal up this truth and hide it until he dies? Jesus wouldn't even give this guy the time of day because he's not giving Christ the time of day. If you don't want him in your life, he backs off. He's going to give you free will. So going on, she goes on, she says, this is one of Satan's hooks to hang your doubts upon, to deceive your soul and the souls of others who will dare to draw the line in this matter and say, this portion which pleases me is from God. But that portion which points out and condemns my course of conduct, well, that's from Sister White alone. It bears not the holy signet. Well, how convenient. It's just like Clark Gable, many years ago, and the decades ago. He wanted to divorce his first wife. So he goes to his pastor, and his pastor says, oh, no, that's sacrilege. You can't do that. That's sin. You can't divorce her unless she commits adultery, and so on and so forth, right? We know what it says in the Bible about of divorce, right? And so he goes down the road and asks the next pastor. Well, he said the same thing. Next pastor. He said the same thing. Next pastor. He said the same thing. Next pastor says, oh, yeah, you can divorce her. Boom, he joins that church. So how convenient. So she goes on, you have in this way virtually rejected the whole of the messages which God in his tender, pitying love has sent to you to save you from moral ruin. There is one back of me, which is the Lord, who has prompted the message which you now reject and disregard and dishonor. By tempting God, you have unnerved yourselves, and confusion and blindness of mind has been the result. And this is what we see every time. When loved ones, strangers, church members, people that sit next to you in a pew, pastors, leaders, deacons, whoever, lay ministers, whenever they get off the path and start to embrace, take World's Last Chance, for example. This guy used to be part of our number many, many years ago. Was right there with us, page one, everything was the same. And got pulled away by some false teachers in this other false ministry, like Restitution Ministries, I believe it was, or Restoration, either one, they're both the same. And they pulled him off the track, and rather than going by that which is written, he went to go by that which they said. And before you knew it, he left the church, right? And like she's saying here, there's going to be a moral ruin. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. The confusion and the blindness of mind will be the end result of it all, and you're going to unnerve yourselves, and it's just going to lead into a path that's insanity. And now World's Last Chance teaches Jesus Christ isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. John Paul II was supposed to raise from the dead when Francis got elected instead, you know. And the Sabbath changes every month in accordance to how the moon rises. And this is what happens. When you walk away from Jesus Christ and decide you don't want anything to do with that which is written, well, then you're on your own. And a grand delusion, a strong delusion shall be sent them. Yeah, the eight heads of the eight popes and stuff like that. Yeah, that too. Yeah. That one page where they actually said they had all these graphs and they showed John Paul II was going to be the next pope after Ratzinger and all that. I knew what was, well, all of us knew this, that it wasn't true, but I knew he was going to pull the page because I remember what happened with those people when I was on Fire Talk many, many years ago, where they were saying that the next pope after John Paul II was going to be Pope Joel, let's say, the first, or even Francis the first. Let's just put it there, you know. And I says, no, because they're basing it from 1929 forward, and you add up all the numbers for the popes, and it comes out to 665 for Pope John Paul II. So the next one has to be Pope number one something, so the perfect 666. I says, that's not what the Bible's talking about when it talks about the 666. And they wouldn't get it, but I copied their page, too, because I knew they were going to pull it as soon as that pope died. And when he died, instead of Ratzinger saying, I'm Benedict the First, he said, I'm Benedict the 16th. So they were off by 15 numbers. Well, kind of expected that with World's Last Chance, too. And that's why I copied that page, and I have it on the site. Just to let people know, now they look all squeaky clean again, except for, of course, their false theology about the moon, Jesus Christ, and all these other things. Some people, they do understand who the Antichrist is. That's because my Characteristics of Antichrist page was the foundation of their website, because we were friends at that time. And this is what irks me about these people, especially the ones that are on YouTube. They use our videos. They use our sermons. They use our studies to bring the people in. And once they get them in, man, it just gets messy. Okay, this next section is titled, This Is Not My Opinion. And she says, after I wrote you the long letter, which has been belittled by Elder H as merely an expression of my own opinion while at the Southern California camp meeting, the Lord partially removed the restriction, and I write what I do. I dare not say more now, lest I go beyond what the Spirit of the Lord has permitted me. Kind of like when John was told, don't write it down. She's obedient. She's a prophet. He can trust her. But they still ain't getting it, right? So she says, when Professor I came, I put to him a few pointed questions, more to learn how he regarded the condition of things than to obtain information. I felt that the crisis had come. Elder H. and those united with him been standing in the light. They would have recognized the voice of warning and reproof, but he calls it a human work and casts it aside. The work he is doing, he will wish undone ere long. He is weaving a net around himself that he cannot easily break. And this is what saddens me about a lot of the people that are in error and don't want to hear they're in error, especially if they've been doing... Like, for example, this guy emailed me, I think it was today or yesterday, oh, you got to check out my website and all this other stuff. And I go to his website, and oh, man, it was like I was talking to that woman yesterday. It was just so many theological pitfalls all over the place. I mean, it was just seven-year trib, eternal life and hellfire, secret rapture, 1,000 years of peace on earth. I mean, it was just a mess. It was just a big mess of Catholic theology. I says, Father, where do I start? Where do you start with something like this? You know, and how, you know, I really don't know. I mean, what do you do? And I know what's usually going to happen. You know, like if I send him a bunch of studies and I'll spend like 2 or 3 hours taking apart just his main page alone, I'm going to get back hateful email saying, you don't know what you're talking about. They won't even read. In other words, they want to be the lecturer. Those one-sided situations that we so often get into, like we share Bible scriptures in a loving manner with some people to try to get them to see, like Sister White's doing here, and it just becomes our opinion. They don't even want to read it. They don't even want anything to do with it. Even though it's concrete. It's so scary for them. But I still do it sometimes, unless, of course, it's like if it's the first time or the second time, and they show a zeal, they show a desire to do the right thing. But once I see the fruits of swine, or what the heretic that Titus talks about, you have to stop. Otherwise, I'm declaring Jesus Christ was mistaken. Because he specifically stated, when you cast your pearls to swine and they trample them underfoot, they're going to turn and attack. Well, how often have we seen that happen? And yet sometimes we have a desire to continue trying to help them. Why? Jesus is going to send you a bunch of more people to help because you've got the truth. But now he's going to stop sending the people to you because he knows you're too busy doing what he asked you not to do. And that's going to turn that smile upside down on him. I mean, it's going to make him sad. Just follow his directions. It's that easy. I mean, there's 7 billion people on the planet. You're not going to run short, okay? You're going to have plenty of people to talk to, you know. You know, give them, you know, 2 times or the very second they start stomping on the Bible scriptures and come at you with teeth gleaming, well, then, yeah, you walk away right away. You don't wait, like Titus, you know, give them 2 admonitions. You don't, you know, you just leave. But anyway, she finalizes this paragraph by saying, this is not my opinion. She goes, what voice will you acknowledge as the voice of God? What power has the Lord in reserve to correct your errors and show your course as it is? What power to work in the church? You have, by your own course, closed every avenue whereby the Lord would reach you. That's so sad. And then she says, will he raise one from the dead to speak to you? Kind of reminds me of Lazarus, you know, not so much Lazarus, but the rich man crying out to Lazarus. But not the Lazarus that Jesus rose from the dead, of course. But a lot of guys like to take that out of context and say, oh, yeah, that's not a parable. That's reality. Look at Lazarus is there, you know. It's, heaven's not in the chest of some guy named Abraham. I mean, you know, I'm not going to spend all eternity dancing in some guy's ribs. I mean, it's just, that's not heaven. But, you know, some people they just love to revel in self-deception. She goes on and she says, in the testimony sent to Battle Creek, I have given you the light that God has given to me. In no case have I given my own judgment or opinion. I have enough to write of what has been shown me without falling back on my own opinions. Boy, that's a good one that we all got to remember, you know. You can say, look, there's 66 books in the Bible. Where do I have time to write a novel? Because that's literally what they want. They want you to give their opinion and then put a bunch of fluffy words. Or as Isaiah says, preach unto us smooth things. Tell us lies. We don't want to know what's the end of the world. That's too depressing. For them. Ever think about that? They don't want to know it's the end of the world because it's too depressing for them. Because they got the nice cars, the nice house, or even, you could be a Christian with the nice cars and nice house, but these guys, that's what they live for. But think about that. With the Christian, the other toss of the coin is, even if they have the nice cars, or if they're living in a hut on the side of some, you know, expressway in downtown Chicago, the end times, whether they're rich or poor, as a Christian, is not a depressing time. It's almost home time. She goes, you are doing as the children of Israel did again and again. Instead of repenting before God, you reject his words and attribute all the warnings and reproof to the messenger whom the Lord sends. And that's always the case, all of us. And I don't know how many times I've always said, look, why are you getting upset at me for, man? I didn't write the Bible. I'm just a messenger. We've all heard the term, don't kill the messenger. Because all throughout history, haven't we seen that? A messenger brings something that the king doesn't want to hear, so he kills the messenger. Yeah, that guy's got a bridle on his heart. Not. So anyway, she finishes this paragraph by saying, permit me to express my mind, and yet not my mind, but the word of the Lord. So amen and amen. All right, let me skip forward a little bit and see how much we got left in this, because it's already 11 o'clock. We're already up to our two-hour thing here that we do. So let me see how many more pages we got to go. Let me just hold this one in memory here. The clipboard and go one. Oh, this is the last page. Okay, let me finish this page then. This is the last page. Well, then it worked out. Isn't that neat the way the Lord does that? You know. This next section is titled, Satan will help those who feel they must discriminate. All right, and it says, I have my work to do, to meet the misconceptions of those who suppose themselves able to say what is the testimony from God and what is human production. And you know, and for those of us that are very busy and answering emails and doing the work, and some of you know who I'm talking to, doesn't this kind of make you smile a little bit? Saying, I think I was talking to Ace about this the other day too. It's nice to see this, her going through this, because It settles in my heart. Says, wow, good, I'm not alone. Sometimes you feel like, why is this all just landing on me? And then I said, wait a second, Craig's getting hit, Ace is getting hit, all these other guys are getting hit. I get emails from half of you saying, oh, it's just like the email I did yesterday on the video from that girl. She's getting hit as a student in school. Why is this happening? And then you look at Sister White, and she's got to defend her writings too. She's got to defend that which she has stated too. In other words, we're in good company. Just like the prophecy said, we're going to be hated just as much as Jesus was hated, because it's his message we're sharing. And they like to kill the messengers. We know that, because he was even a messenger for his father. So she goes on, if those who have done this work continue in this course, satanic agencies will choose for them. Those who have helped souls to feel at liberty. See, I'd kind of like to see how that ends right there, but we kind of know where she's headed. Anyway, because I don't like that dot, dot, dot they got at the end there. Anyway, it says, those who have helped souls to feel at liberty to specify what is of God in the testimonies and what are the uninspired words of Sister White will find that they were helping the devil in his work of deception. Please read testimony number 33, page 211. How to receive reproof or whatever. Anyway, she finally says, the last one, says, how can God reach them? And it says, what reserve power has the Lord with which to reach those who have cast aside his warnings and reproofs and have accredited the testimonies of the Spirit of God to no higher source than human wisdom? In the judgment, what can you, who have done this, offered to God as an excuse for turning from the evidences he has given you that God was in the work. And with that, I say amen. That is solid. I mean, what are you going to do when you especially then, when all that self-deception is wiped away and you're going to know, you're going to have crystal clear vision. That's why you're weeping and gnashing your teeth, because you see that tree of life in the city. You see all your loved ones up there on the wall that did make it in the city. And you're not going to be allowed to be in there. They're going to live for all eternity in extreme happiness. And you're about to not only burn, but turn to the ashes that'll be under the soles of their feet, as Malachi chapter 4 says will happen. I know everybody tells the people in the world that when you go to hell, you're screaming and yelling in hellfire for all eternity, but the Bible says no. We're going to be walking on the ashes of the dead that went to hell. Hell means grave. It doesn't mean life. But then, isn't that what Satan's been saying since the Garden of Eden? Ye shall not surely die. And he likes that lie. It seems to be one of his favorites, and it's working really well for him because he's been using it 6,000 years. And so he's about to run out of time, though. So praise God for that. So I hope and pray you were blessed by what we share this Sabbath day. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to end in prayer. Oh, that's a good one, too, what Mel just put in the room. I want to read that after the prayer here. Bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with that which is written, and thank you for giving us an understanding of the Word and helping us in our weak areas, helping us in our unbelief, helping us with stronger faith. Thank you once again for blessing everybody that's on the prayer list, especially those we mentioned tonight. And thank you once again for answering our prayers in regards to the technology so that we can do this work. And Father, we are locked in for a few years on the contract, but we know that it's not hard to get out of, but still, give us as many years as necessary to share the truth with as many as possible, so our family and your kingdom is that much bigger. And please bridle our tongues and our hearts so that no anger or angry words come forth, so that we can only share that which you have given us to share. And thank you for giving us the smiles through these trials. And we lift this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, and amen, and amen. And 1,600 earthquakes since last Sabbath at this time. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Whole lot of shaking going on there, I guess, as they used to say. Where did I get that from? 1950s? No, I'm not that. Well, I was born in the 50s, but anyway, I want to read this, what Brother Mel just put in the room here. I'm going to try to copy it before the room jerks up again. And it's from SPM. I don't really know what SPM stands for. Let me put it in the paste in here real quick. It kind of like leans on what we were reading here. It says, if Elder Daniels is in Battle Creek, please place in his hands the manuscripts I send you. I have my work to do to meet the misconceptions of those who suppose themselves able to say what is a testimony from God and what is human productions. If those who have done this work continue in this course, satanic agencies will choose for them at the variance. Yeah, that's Mel's finishing it up. Remember the dot, dot, dot? I was asking. Thank you. Yeah, this is what she says after the dot, dot, dot. It says, if those who have done this work continue in this course, satanic agencies will choose for them at the Berrien Springs meeting. The richest blessing was proffered them. This blessing they could have had if they had let Christ help them, confessing their wicked obstinacy, but they refused to take the right course. The holy angels turned away. The evil angels have been holding away over minds. And evil angels obtained the victory at the meeting, but there was no need for me to give the particulars of this. And so, yeah, I mean, who cares? Who wants to glorify that devil anyway? So, amen and amen. Thank you, brother. That was good. So it's good to know what was there. And for those listening on this recording, I hope and pray you were blessed too. God bless.